Let's talk a little bit about Memorial Day. Memorial Day weekend. It's a big time, isn't it? It's a fun time, fun day to most people. Most people nowadays, Memorial Day is a, or Memorial Weekend is a weekend for play and pleasure and cookouts. All kinds of things go on Memorial Day weekend. If you want to, you could go to Garden Grove, California. In Garden Grove, California this weekend, there is what they call the Garden Grove Strawberry Festival. Anybody want to go? It's a four-day festival celebrating everything to do with the humble strawberry. There's pageants, there's strawberry idol karaoke contest, redhead roundup contest, berry beautiful baby pageant, and of course, a strawberry-themed parade on Saturday. Sound interesting? Anybody want to go? Maybe you prefer Miami, Florida for your Memorial Day weekend, and here's the testimony of one young man a couple of years ago from Wisconsin who was there. He said, I arrived on the sandy beach of Miami, Florida on Thursday, May 21st, 2009. As soon as our cab pulled up to the hotel, I knew I was in for a good time. There were beautiful people everywhere. I mean, the streets were packed from dawn until dusk. The weather was perfect, 85 and sunny. It rained off and on all weekend, but the weather did not dampen the party in the streets. I won't finish his testimony, but it sounded pretty wild. Crazy stuff. Somebody suggested Sin City, Las Vegas. Here's how some are advertising Memorial Day weekend, packed with major entertainment, pool parties, the hottest DJs, local clubs, even some Shakespeare. Now, your Memorial Day weekend probably doesn't consist of any of those things. Apparently, your Memorial Day weekend consists of Wiseball Community Church and maybe some family gatherings, some fun times with family and friends, enjoying the time together. Perhaps in your Memorial Day weekend, there will be a cemetery visit. I'd like for us to spend a little bit of time this morning looking at Memorial Day past, Memorial Day present, and Memorial Day future. Memorial Day past. At a commuter train station, a policeman noticed a woman driver with her head bowed over the steering wheel in obvious discomfort. The police officer asked her, "Is there anything wrong?" Half crying, half laughing, she said, "For 10 years, I've been driving my husband to the station every morning to catch this train. This morning, I forgot him." The worst forgetfulness of all is when we forget people. One of the biggest lessons that we need to learn is that God didn't put us here for us. God put us here for others. We are to remember those around us. We are to remember our deceased loved ones. We are to look back and remember. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow..." What? "That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." See, there are some that have gone on, and we can have a hope and a confidence to know where they are as they are worshiping with Christ, worshiping at his feet this morning. It's not that we have no hope. that there are some that have gone on, our friends and our family, that have crossed this line of worlds, and now they are in the very presence of Jesus, and that's our hope as well. That's our promise as well. Paul doesn't refer to these people as died, having died, but he's referring to them as fallen asleep. They're not dead. They've only gone on to another life, a better life. They've left this and gone to something better. And that gives us hope that we too can see them again because we have the hope in Jesus Christ. Memorial Day weekend, consequently, we remember loved ones who have gone on before us. But we don't have to grieve over them necessarily as those that have no hope, because our hope is in Jesus. We may shed some tears. Some of those tears may be shed at the most inopportune times. Our heart may be grieving because of the loss of a loved one. It's not that we can't grieve. It's not that we can't shed a tear. It's that we have a hope in Jesus Christ. Perhaps there's some that we have felt a more keen loss than perhaps others. Probably that is because we were closer to them than what we were to some others. And because of that closer contact that we had with some, it's the stronger the hurt, the pain. Some people say that it gets better with age. Maybe it's not that it gets better with age, but that we learn how to deal with it better. And perhaps also a benefit would be that as we mature spiritually, that helps to know how to deal with it better. Job poses a question in the 14th chapter of the book. If a man dies, shall he live again? That's a question that people are asking today. All around us we find that question being asked, whether in verbal form or in their thoughts. Science may say something like this: he may live again. Philosophy would say he hopes to live again. Ethics would say that he ought to live again. Atheism would say he will never live again. But Jesus said, he shall live again. Not only do we remember those friends and family members that have gone on, but we also remember deceased war veterans. The reason why Memorial Day was established was to remember those slain in battle, slain in war. Maybe you have someone of your past that has been taken. Their life has been taken from them in the midst of battle, in the midst of wartime. Going off to defend somebody or something. Every war has been called by some people a just war and a just cause. And there's a defending of freedom somewhere in the midst. Somewhere there's a portion that somebody has thought of that this freedom needs to be defended. And so our men and women go off to battle. They go off to war. And some of them don't come back. One person said this: this weekend I'm going to do something different. I'm going to buy some carnations each day and go to one of the nearby cemeteries and walk through the sections for soldiers. When I find a grave that has no flowers, I'll leave one and say a prayer for the family of that person. Or for some reason could not bring their soldiers, who for some reason could not bring their soldiers some flowers. I will pray for our country and all who serve or have served, and for their families, who also serve by losing precious days, weeks, and months spent with their loved ones who are off serving, preserving peace and the freedom we have in this country. I'll pray for the families who paid the ultimate price, whose loved ones died or were taken captive and never returned. I'll pray for anyone who may still be held in captivity and thinks perhaps they are forgotten. I do not forget. How great is that? Somebody said that you can say goodbye to me, but not to the thought of me. We don't want to be forgotten. We remember our loved ones who have gone before us. We remember and we appreciate them. We remember and rejoice in their good. We remember and pray the past, Memorial Day past. What about Memorial Day present? We remember people every day, don't we? Don't we think about people every day? Some time back, Sister Faye Clark gave me an article about a young lady that got saved over in Elnora Park. The Damon was here that Sunday and read that article or referred and shared that article. And a week or two went by and he was preparing something for their church back home in Michigan. And that article came to him and he called me to find out how he could get that article. And long story short, he has been in touch with that person, that young lady that got saved. And she's going to Africa this fall as a missionary. His personal friend. He's acquainted with her. He's met her in person. He's made contact. Tried to get contact to where she could come to Athens camp. It wasn't working out. But it's a thought of a person. Somebody. Here's one. Mark Schultz of Bremerton, Washington, is a fatherless 12-year-old who likes to fish, but who had no adult to take him fishing. When Mark submitted a want ad asking for adult volunteers to take him fishing, he received 20 phone calls. What's your point, Brother Ziegler? My point is that we need to remember people. We need to remember people in life. We need to remember them in any form that shows them that we care about them, whether it's taking them fishing or doing something else that lets them know that we think about them and that we care. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." If we break that down just a little bit, it would say that the Son of Man came not to be served, but he came to serve. He came to serve. What do we need to do? What is it that our responsibility would be today? Hopefully your responsibility doesn't go like this little poem. I gave a little party this afternoon at 3. 'Twas very small, 3 guests in all, just I, myself, and me. Myself ate up the sandwiches while I drank up the tea, and it was I who ate the pie and passed the cake to me. Simple party, but we're supposed to think about others. Matthew chapter 9, it tells us that Jesus went through towns and villages. And while he traveled through towns and villages, he was teaching in their synagogues. He was preaching the good news of the kingdom. When he saw people that were in need of physical healing, he touched them and he healed them. When he saw the crowds, the key portion to scripture verse that tells us about him seeing the crowds is that he had compassion on them. That particular verse in Matthew chapter 9 says that the reason why he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Well, that's a message in itself. Sheep without a shepherd. Could we say that that would mean that they were a harassed group of people, that they were a helpless group of people, that they needed somebody to come and meet their need? Maybe it was simply the need of friendship, but they needed somebody, and he had compassion on them. What do we think of when we see the multitudes going by us? No, we may not see the multitudes here in shoals. But do you ever venture out? Do you go to Walmart sometime or another? Perhaps you even go to the mall. Strange people are at malls. Strange people can be found anywhere. Stories abound of times when preachers and Christians have been traveling and they've seen someone that they really didn't want to sit beside on the bus or sit beside on the airplane. And lo and behold, if God didn't already have it set up, that was the destination of that strange person. Do we shy away or do we tell them that someone cares? Do we shy away from the oddities and the strangeness, or maybe the smell is repulsive? Jesus looked at the multitudes and he had compassion on them. Philippians 2:4 tells us that we are not to look on the interest only of ourselves or our own interest only, but to be paying attention to the interest of others. Somebody stopped and talked to me this week. I got the feeling, though, that from the conversation that they weren't so much interested in me, they were interested in the chainsaw that I had. And now I'd be happy to give them that chainsaw now. Tore it up that day. There was an interest. There was an interest in perhaps somebody else's things, but that's not what the writer here is talking about, that we look to somebody else's interest or other people's things with interest that we want, but that we treat their things and protect their things as though it was ourselves or our own. That their interest, their spiritual interest. Do you ever have interest in somebody else spiritually? Has it ever occurred to you that somebody may need you to come and speak to them about their soul? Speak to them about Jesus? Speak to them about heaven? Their interest. Galatians chapter 5, the writer's talking about us being free. Thank God for freedom, both in America, but also spiritual freedom this morning. But Paul was also writing in that passage that we are not to take our freedom and indulge in that freedom in sinful things or even in selfish things, but that in the midst of our freedom, he said in the final part of that verse, to serve one another. Serve one another. He didn't just say serve one another, though. He said serve one another in love. That word's big. As a matter of fact, he goes on in the next chapter that tells us that we are to bear one another's burdens. And in doing so, we fulfill the law, not the suggestions, but the law of Christ, as though the law of Christ says that we are, commands us to bear one another's burdens. While we're bearing somebody else's burdens and we're carrying our own, sometimes the weight becomes oppressive. Sometimes the weight becomes unbearable. And what did Paul admonish us in that same chapter? Let us not be weary in well-doing. That's a verse for us, isn't it, Brother Foster? Weary in well-doing can take place no matter where you are ministering, no matter where you are serving, whether you're serving in the pulpit or you're serving to the neighbor down the street somewhere. Weary in well-doing comes because of the pressures of life. But Paul is admonishing us not to be weary in well-doing, for there is a reward that will come if we continue to press, if we faint not. Do we remember the Lord? Do we remember the Lord daily? Do we remember the Lord hourly? We don't dare forget the Lord on Memorial Day. No, we should remember him on Memorial Day. I wonder what it would have been like for Enoch had he lived until the days of Memorial Day celebrations. Because it tells us in Genesis chapter 5 that Enoch walked with God. I don't know what that means to you. I don't know what you think about when you think of Enoch walking with God, but it seems to me that phrase would indicate that Enoch's walk with God was not just a weekly thing on Sunday, but it was a daily walk. And not only was it a daily walk, it was very likely an hourly walk. Could we even go so far to suggest that perhaps that walk with God that is suggested in Genesis chapter 5 of Enoch, that it was a moment-by-moment walk? That there was a continual celebration, there was a continual communion, he was a constant companion of Enoch's. Can we do the same? Can it be said of us that we walk with God and He is our constant companion? Maybe the reason why some people have trouble remembering the Lord on the Lord's Day is because that they forget Him through the week too. Memorial Day present. How about Memorial Day future? Memorial Day future. We build memories for the future, don't we? 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul's talking to Timothy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Let me give you that in some other words. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Did Timothy inherit his faith from his grandmother and his mother? No, I'm not talking about going to heaven on their apron strings. I'm not suggesting that. But did he inherit their faith? Did they pass on to him their faith? It appears that way. He learned from his mother and he learned from his grandmother. Perhaps it was his mother and his grandmother that influenced Timothy to become the spiritual son of Paul. Because Timothy was Paul's spiritual son. But it was the influence of grandma and mom that brought him to that place. I wonder what the memories were that Timothy had of his grandmother. I wonder what the memories were that Timothy had of his mother. All of us here this morning have memories of our deceased relatives. My parents are still alive. My grandparents are all gone. What are your memories of your deceased loved ones? Good? Bad? Indifferent? What about making the best possible memories for our children and our grandchildren? The best possible memories. My grandmother on my mom's side died just a few years ago, lived to be 102, I believe it was. Let's say that she would have died when she was 90. All of my memories of that grandmother, all of my memories of that grandmother would have basically consisted, the overwhelming part would be that she was mean to my grandpa. She hated grandpa. It didn't matter what was going on, she could be busy cooking the big family dinner. Tucked away in the little kitchen of her house. If Grandpa walked in the door, there was instantly a storm brewing. And that storm wasn't just something that was going inside and smoke coming out her ears. It was actual verbal words coming out of her mouth that was a storm of brewing. Every single time Grandpa came in the door, he may be just coming in to wash his hands. He may be just coming in to use the restroom. It didn't matter what he was doing. He walked in the door, she had a barrage of words. Along with that, the only memory that I have, or another memory I have of that grandmother, is that the soap operas were always blaring in the living room. She may be tucked away in the bedroom. She may be in the kitchen doing her cooking and preparations, but the soap operas always seemed to be blaring. She had a little dog named Tippy. As a matter of fact, she had a number of little Tippies over the years. Every dog she got was named Tippy. They were always the same kind of dog, the same color of dog, so it was easy to call every one of them Tippy. Every one of those dogs was mean. I think that every one of them were mean because Grandma was mean. Grandma's attitude wore off on that little puppy, and it grew up to become a dog, even though it was only stood that tall. You didn't want to touch Tippy. Now, Grandma could cook. It's wonderful to go to Grandma's house. Now, my grandpa, though, he was always a kind gentleman. He'd send us birthday cards, and always on the envelope it said, Master John Ziegler. I don't know what that meant, but as a little kid it sounded pretty important. You know, it made me feel like Grandpa thought something of me. Grandpa died, I think he was 77 years of age. He was killed in a car accident. I think I shared it before, walking to church because he was on the schedule to sing that night. His car was broke down. He had to get there to fulfill his responsibility, so he was walking. Downtown State College. Stepped off the curb and a car hit him. Threw him over top of it. They opened him up trying to do surgery and decided that he was full of cancer. Sew him back up. Let him go. Grandpa never had a harsh word to say about all the barrage of words coming from Grandma. You see, Grandpa was a Baptist fella that believed that the heart could be changed. And Grandpa lived the heart-changed life. Got a picture of Grandpa on my study wall. Tall, stately fella. Fingers that were twisted with the arthritis. Got good memories of Grandpa. Think about my dad's parents and the memories just flow over and over. The only bad memories I have of my dad's parents are the times that they boxed my ears. You know, when it comes right down to it, I'm building memories. I'm building memories. Sometimes those memories that I'm building makes me tremble. Sometimes those memories that I'm building makes me smile. What are my kids going to remember of me when I'm gone? What are you going to remember of me when I'm gone? What's your children going to remember of me when I'm gone? What are they going to remember of you when you're gone? Oh, surely there's going to be some good times. Oh, yes, there's going to be some good times. My grandma lived to be 102, as I mentioned. From about 95 on, there's good memories. She went to church faithfully with Mom and Dad because she moved in with Mom and Dad. She was kind to all of us. She was remorseful about all of the bad words that she had said about Grandpa. Memories are constantly being built, constantly being laid down. Will people remember us because of our faith? Will people remember us because of our love for them, our kindness? Or will it be because of something negative? What will somebody else remember me by? Years and years ago, the Salvation Army was holding an international convention, and their founder, General William Booth, could not attend because of physical weakness. He cabled his convention message to them. It was one word: others. Others. So in conclusion, let me read this to you. It's a prayer. Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep, and all in vain may efforts be to rise again and less to live for others. And when my work on earth is done and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won while still thinking of others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like thee, making memories. Let's stand together this morning. Memorial Day, isn't it the basis? Isn't the basis of Memorial Day others? To remember. Let's think about others. Amen. Brother Foster, would you dismiss us in prayer?